I'm just going to bring to us now our reading, which is in John chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 10 and read down to verse 18. Sorry, I'm going to start in verse 9. Jesus has met Nicodemus, and having opened up the wonder that we must be born again, Nicodemus says in verse 9, "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Anthony.
Imagine the scene. It's the afternoon. You've gone on a picnic walk with your family and your friends. Someone's brought the sandwiches, someone else has got the flask of tea, and you've made sure that there's chocolate. You find a nice spot to sit down and have a munch. Happy days. Until suddenly, someone realizes that you're about to be attacked by a swarm of angry snakes. I can't imagine much more terrifying things, to be honest, than snakes. But don't worry, I'm not anticipating a snake invasion anytime soon. I think after the recent weather we've had, any snakes left in the country at the moment are probably firmly snuggled up in their beds. But as shocking as it sounds, a snake invasion is something that's happened in the life of God's people. And as we heard in our passage this evening, in verse 14, it's something that Jesus recalls as he begins to explain the reason that he's come into the world. He said, "As Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." And as we think about these things just for the next few minutes, I hope that we'll be struck again by the wonder of why God gave his one and only Son, that Jesus might give his life to rescue us from our sin. But what is going on? Why is Jesus talking about a snake being lifted up in the wilderness? Well, it's an event that we can read about in the book of Numbers. And it talks about how God's people, as they were walking through the wilderness, they started to become angry with God. They felt that he wasn't caring for them properly. They felt that they could do a better job by themselves. So God, in his perfect judgment, he sent poisonous snakes among them. And the snakes, well, they killed everyone who they bit. A bit harsh, you might think. Until, of course, you remember God's wonderful generosity in rescuing them from slavery out of Egypt and protecting every one of their steps as they're heading towards the land that he's promised them. Can't imagine really being surrounded by snakes, knowing that your life hangs in the balance, knowing that there's nothing that you can do but to cry out for rescue. And cry out they did. They did call out to God for a rescue. And God, well, God did give them a rescue. He told Moses to put a snake on a pole. And he said, anyone who looks at the snake, well, they'll be healed. I can't imagine being one of the Israelites standing there thinking, Moses, we're dying. And you're telling us to look at a snake on a pole? Moses, this is foolishness. Moses, you've lost the plot. Or, Moses, we're dying and you're telling us to look at a snake? Is that all we have to do, look at a snake on a pole? It's too good to be true. The closest I've ever come to a snake is when I was on holiday with Jen and I stepped on one as we were out for a walk. I like to say that I bravely protected Jen, made sure that it didn't, you know. Sadly, I just let out a little scream and ran away. It didn't bite me, and more importantly, it didn't bite Jen. But I don't think the snake was poisonous. I think it was just minding its own business on a sunny afternoon. So I can't compare my brush with a snake to that of the Israelites, but I have been so determined to ignore God, so determined to live my life my own way, that something the Bible calls sin, that I may as well have been surrounded by poisonous snakes for all the spiritual danger that I was in. And I began to realize that there was nothing I could do myself to rescue. Nothing that I could do to rescue myself. And the Bible says that we're all in the same boat. But God in his mercy gave his one and only son so that he might die to rescue us from our sin. And this is not some temporary snake on a stick rescue. Because you see, Jesus, the only man who's lived a perfect life, when he died, he perfectly dealt with the problem of our sin. Just imagine for a moment, everything you've ever done wrong, every wrong thought, every time you know you should have done the right thing and you didn't. Jesus on the cross, he takes the blame. And we in turn, for those who trust that he died for our rescue, well, we're forgiven, completely and permanently forgiven. So as we prepare to go home in the next few moments, all with our own circumstances, with our own hopes and fears, with our own struggles, let's remember together that this is how God loves us. He gave freely his one and only son. And so we know that the greatest problem that we ever have to face in this life is not snakes, not even our exams or our school, our work, our relationships, not even our health, but the problem of our sin that separates us from God. We know that that's dealt with. And so whatever tomorrow brings, we need fear nothing else in the same way. And if you're here tonight and you wouldn't call Jesus your Savior, I'm so glad you're here. Please know that this offer of rescue is how God loves you too. The Bible's very clear. We've all lived lives that have ignored God. We're all spiritually in need of rescue. But our verse tonight demonstrates, doesn't it, that God gave his one and only son so that he might die to rescue you from your sin. To rescue you, to provide you forgiveness for all that stops you from coming to God. And it is found simply in looking to him and trusting in him, higher and lifted up for your rescue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your one and only Son to die for us, so that we might know the wonderful joy of forgiveness and new life in you. Help us, Lord, this week to keep our hearts and minds firmly fixed on your Son, high and lifted up. In his precious name we pray. Amen.